B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, March 18th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, The Simpsons has finally turned its attention to esports. We'll tell you all about it. Plus, it's that time of the year again. March means that it's time for Checkpoint XP's High Score Hall of Fame. This time, we're going to pick a villain. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP. But first, we've got a very special guest. Joining us now is the 2016 EVO Melee Champion, winner of Genesis 6 Melee Singles, a member of Team Liquid, and considered one of the gods of Smash Bros. Hungrybox, welcome into Checkpoint XP.
I'm happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So, we obviously have to start with the big announcement that there's going to be no Melee at EVO 2019. How did you react to that announcement?
Probably the same way I'm reacting now every time I hear those words. It's like a piercing through my heart, pretty much. But it's interesting, right? Because I would say EVO did take a gamble in sort of allowing whatever community raised the most money for breast cancer back in 2013 to be that, you know, coveted eighth spot in the tournament. And once we were able to get it, you took a game that was at that point 12 years old and put it on the main stage. And next thing you know, that alongside a documentary being released turned it into an esport. And now Melee is still, you know, vibrantly alive and well at this point 18 years later. So they had us at EVO in the early, and I think 07, and then they took us out, and then they had us back in 2013 all the way through 2018. And then I think about a month ago, they announced the lineup for the new EVO, and we were all waiting with like bated breath to see if we were actually going to be back there. But, you know, instead of saying we're going to have, you know, Melee here for one last time to give them one last go out with a bang, they just kind of said, here's, you know, an epilogue video. Thanks for the memories. Thanks for paying our venue fee. they kind of just left this like on red. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just an odd way to do it, given the fact that every year we brought them at least, I think it's averaged 1,500 entrants to their tournaments, especially since like 2014, I believe. And so we are very niche because we're one of the biggest fighting game communities for a game that's, you know, almost two decades old, but we still have these numbers. So we were just confused. I'm not sure if it was a logistical issue, but I guess they just didn't want to give us that spotlight anymore. So it's kind of confusing to all of us, but, you know, I guess at some point it has to happen.
Would you say that the scene's reaction has been much the same as yours, like kind of shocked confusion?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, it's just like a lot of top players are like, you know, I'm not surprised they did this, but still it's so weird considering it. Like, if we were just some game that, you know, happened to be on there as like a traditional thing, but our numbers were low, then of course, like, obviously the organizers of EVO, guys like Mr. Wizards, like, you know, they're businessmen. They know what they're doing in terms of making a higher profit margins for their event. But, you know, I thought, you know, we never even had any pot bonuses for our tournaments, right? Like, you would have, I think it was games like, it might have been either Guilty Gear or one of the Anime Fighters, but I remember one year they had like a $50,000 prize bonus. It might have been even Street Fighter. I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong. And, you know, you still had a bunch of people coming, but, you know, we would just only have the pot that was given by the players. I think it was like $10 per player going in. And we would compete, you know, not for these massive prize bonuses, but because we really loved the game. That's why everyone came out there, because EVO offers that platform as like the Super Bowl of fighting game events. So fortunately, the silver lining is that through the catapult that EVO gave us, you know, Melee still exists and has a slew of national events that exist both inside and outside the United States. And those are still having some really, really good viewership. I mean, Genesis 6 in February, 150,000 viewers for the Melee Top 8. And that's for a game no longer at EVO. It's just it's kind of an interesting thing about.
Now, speaking of that, though, the Melee has been the standard for which Smash games are measured by, and the Smash games that have come after it. Smash U is on the scene now. How does it compare in terms of, you know, the difference between it and Melee?
So Ultimate versus Melee, like, Ultimate is the direct successor to Smash for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with Smash for the Wii U, Ultimate will feel right, you know, perfectly, almost identical in your hands. Obviously, there's changes to, you know, character balances, a bit of an engine change in terms of the physics, you know, what you can do with grabs, the ledge, that sort of thing. but generally, especially for the casual competitor, Smash 4 and Smash for the Switch are just like brother and sister. So that being said, ever since like way back in 07 when Brawl came out, like even Brawl was like such a drastic change from Melee that a lot of the Melee diehards, they're almost alienated. It actually caused a really big early rift in the community when that game came out because there was confusion. It's kind of like, well, you took out all of these things in Melee, you know, things that are considered game-breaking, you know, people call them glitches at first, but, you know, later they were found to be honestly just part of the game. But things like wave dashing, L-canceling, just really, really incredibly frame-perfect fast options, which made the game that challenging, but they made it that much more exciting to watch. The removal of these aspects turned Brawl and Melee into basically separate esports. And then Brawl, Smash 4, and then Smash Ultimate, those have kind of been three true successors to one another, whereas Melee, to this day, apart from, you know, the PM, which was the user-made modifications of the game for Brawl, apart from that, which wasn't even a Nintendo release, Melee has never really had a true successor, and I think that's the reason we just can't stop playing it. So Ultimate and Melee, very, very different, and they took all the feedback after Smash 4 came out to make the Melee players like it too. And don't get me wrong, Ultimate is, you know, definitely the best game I've ever played in the series since Melee. It's definitely the best release so far since Melee. But I'm just wondering, if they just turn a few more mechanics on, if they just switch a few more parameters, you could have a game really similar to Melee. And no matter what they release, Nintendo is still Nintendo. They have the hearts and the affection of so many millions of fans around the world that basically, I speak for us, we'll buy anything they put out when it turns to Smash content. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. We're gonna buy it anyway. It's like, oh, well, Mewtwo's in this? Roy's in this? Isabelle? F*** yeah, I'm buying it. You know, just like, it's such a sick game. So if that's the case, why not add that challenging factor, that speed of Melee again?
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Hungrybox of Team Liquid, and we're talking about the evolution of Smash Brothers and where Smash Brothers Ultimate has wound up.
So, Smash Melee, Nintendo has always treated that with a very kind of hands-off approach. They kind of let that scene just kind of be. With Ultimate, it seems like they're taking a much more hands-on approach. How important do you think that is, or is it important? Shouldn't maybe Nintendo stay out, or do you want their involvement?
So, Nintendo, I think even this weekend, or for the past couple of weeks, has been doing, for the first time, one of their own regional circuits, or national circuits, rather, for Smash Ultimate. It's been, you know, live broadcasted. They had, you know, good commentators for the event. Pretty decent production. But here's the funny thing. Like, this weekend was, I think, like the semifinals for that event, live from, I believe it was Vegas. You check on Twitch viewership, and at the same time, there was a tournament, a grassroots tournament, called Collision happening, streamed on Nairo's channel. Tell me how Nairo had double the viewership of Nintendo for his event. And that's when it was in the early part of the bracket, had like 5,000 viewers, and the Nintendo event only had like 2,500. It might have changed as the day went on, but the reason that happened is because I think the one big thing that Nintendo is missing, the one thing that they just, for some reason, have never quite grasped, is that tons of their viewership when it comes to Twitch, an esports streaming platform, tons of their viewership is lended to the credibility of an event based on its rule sets. You know, would you want to watch LeBron James in basketball play in a really competitive high-stakes tournament, like in the playoffs, but then all the basketball players have to wear oven mitts and the floor is covered in oil? Like, it'll be funny to watch for like an hour and like, ha-ha, look, everyone's falling over. But then when you look at it and they're like, no, we're going to do this for the rest of the season. This is how they're going to play. you start to say, like, what the hell? What? That's not basketball, right? Like, I'm not, what is this crap? Now, the thing is, that's exactly the same way with Smash. We have a tradition of not using items. We have a tradition of using neutral stages. We take out all of these factors which add this sort of random RNG element, which doesn't really dictate who the better player is in any sport, whether it's an e-sport, physical, virtual, whatever you want to call it. The winners are celebrated. People with the higher skills naturally or inclined at the game are always celebrated as champions. And sort of because it is that meritocracy, that's what generates hype. That's what generates narratives and storylines. When Nintendo, you know, showcases, hey, look at all the quirky things we can put in our game. For the casuals, you know, sure, it might be a ton of fun. Sure, for the dorm kids who drink and play Smash, or for the kids who are just playing on their Switch with their friends, that's the beautiful appeal of Smash, is how wide it goes. But when it comes to hosting a sanctioned tournament with money and prizes and fame on the line. The question is, why not just work with the community? We've perfected this, basically. We've perfected this industry, this machine of running and hosting events and making sure that the top players and casuals alike are all on the same level, allowed to compete in these open tournaments. And it really is may the best man win. We have professional commentators, professional tournament organizers, professional streamers, professional video makers and editors, videographers, professional gamers. Everything you would need for good production is already there in the community. So the question for Nintendo is, why not just come to us? Why try to put your own rule set and get this paltry viewership? Because people, I mean, let's face it, they love the game. They love Nintendo, but they're never going to take a tournament like that seriously. Mm-hmm. It's just sad because all we've been wishing for this whole time is Nintendo. You know, put in $100,000, which is pennies to a company that big, $100,000 on the line for this big, you know, 2 month wide circuit with a qualifying tournament in each corner of the country with one big grand finals in, you know, Las Vegas or wherever you want to hold it. Can you imagine what viewership that would get for the title of the Nintendo champion officially, you know, with them recognizing an official rule set?
Be huge.
That's what we want.
It would. It would be absolutely huge.
So I have to know, with all the different fighting game, FGC games that are out there, what originally got you into Smash, and of all the characters, why Jigglypuff?
Well, then. So here's that question. Honestly, when I was growing up, I just loved playing every Nintendo game, especially like my Game Boy Advance, my GameCube. My thing back then was like being a completionist. I just wanted to like unlock every character in a game and every trophy, unlock every goal. I like beating games to 100% completion. It was just something really satisfying about that. And Melee was just another one of those games I was collecting dust in my closet. I remember I took it out and I was doing the thing where you get all the trophies, and one of them required you to beat this mode called All-Star mode. You have to beat it on very hard. And for some reason, something in the back of my mind said, wait a minute, I'm just going to choose a character I can restore HP with. If I can restore HP, I can just keep trying over and over and I'll never die. And that was Jigglypuff. I think for the Pokemon days, like, she had this move where she fell asleep and she got restored and it was great. So I tried doing that in the game and I realized it was a useless move. She just fell asleep and did nothing. And then the same exact day I'm walking over, my brother's playing the original Smash 64. I happen to look over and he lands this move with Jigglypuff called Rest. You fall asleep on your opponent, and they fly off the screen, and they explode in a fiery explosion. And I looked at it, and I thought to myself, and I said, wouldn't it be so funny if I hit my friend with that tonight? And so I go over to his house, and I land it on him, and we're all laughing at the ridiculousness of this move. And honestly, that one just funny evening set off a chain of reaction of events that I had no idea was coming, because I realized I got really good at landing it. I got really good at moving around with Puff, and I got really good at just understanding spacing because I played so many of these damn platformer games for Nintendo growing up. It kind of just fell into my hands, and it felt natural. And so the next thing I know, I was a Jigglypuff player in the city of Orlando at 13 years old.
I absolutely love the answer to that question. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're talking to Hungry Box of Team Liquid about Melee, Smash U. We're going all over the place. Now, you know, Smash in the FGC is often where some of esports' best moments are made. You know, you were just talking about Jigglypuff and you know, that amazing moment that you can make. So why do you think, you know, prize pools and investments are so much smaller than in other esports with the FGC specifically?
It's a really good question, because games like League of Legends, Fortnite, like the really big PC games, they have such a widespread, massive appeal between casual and competitive. Like, almost everyone has a computer. Almost everyone can download these games. They're free to play. First of all, the barrier to entry is bar none, very, very low. But investors, they really like seeing comparisons, I feel, to traditional sports. And they really like seeing the idea of leagues and professional, you know, sanctioned tournaments and viewership. Now, I would say for the main big circuits, like, I think League of Legends still remains, like, the biggest esport that there is. But new games like Apex and Fortnite, like, you've seen the viewers that get on Twitch. There's a lot of money there just because of the sheer number of people that watch it. FGC has always been, in my opinion, it's like you have sports that are professional that are still on, like, ESPN, but they're not, like, considered, like, the mecca of sports. Like, if League of Legends and Fortnite and Dota, whatever you want to call it, if those games are, like, the basketball and the football and the soccer, you know, the baseball, those huge ones, I would say that the FGC is more it's like they're known titles, but they don't have the same prestige. Maybe like a professional, maybe even tennis or professional bowling or, you know, the winter sports and Olympic Games. Like people, everyone knows about them, right? Mm-hmm. But the same amount of prestige isn't put onto them because it's almost like a gamble for them, I feel. But with the growing viewership and how popular they've gotten, especially a title as well known as Super Smash Brothers, I really do think the returns would be massive if they're just properly utilized. And I really do think that as long as more top-tier esports organizations continue to pick up players and continue to make sure these events have narratives and they have reasons for people to watch them, to me, that's as viable as any other esport. You just need the viewership, and I think we have it.
So the FGC has been doing esports since before we even called them esports. And today you've got people who aspire to be pros and know when they've made it. I mean, heck, my brother is trying to make it as a Smash pro now. He's decided he likes the game enough, he wants to go for it. When would you say that you first recognized yourself as a professional esports athlete?
The moment I was able to start paying for my stuff at school and college with winnings from Smash. As little as it was back then, when I, you know, from the first time I ever made my first $17 at a local tournament to, you know, winning whatever it was, like 30 grand at Summit for winning that event, all that range in between, all the work that was given, it was kind of like the fact that I can make any sort of living, whether modest or a nice one, from competing. In that sense, you are a professional because you're paying your bills with video games. And it's a kind of a crazy concept to imagine. But in 2008, when I went to my first Genesis tournament, which was like one of the very first Super Nationals, which brought players from every corner of the globe to Antioch, California to see what's the best. I think I placed third place there and I got like, you know, $700, something like that. But the fact that I was able to place in the top three, given that talent pool, you know, it wasn't about the money then. It's just sort of like, wow, I can actually keep up and maybe one day I can actually beat all these people, this video game, even as young as I am. That's when I look at myself and tell myself, as maybe I am a pro Smash player. Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, after your Evo win in 2016, what was it like to, you know, tell your loved ones, your family and stuff that at that time you were the best in the world, literally?
It was really an emotional moment for me because for so long, you know, I had been reaching for the spot. You know, even in 2016, I ended up not getting rank one. I got second behind Armada, but then for these past 2 years, I've been the number one ranked in the world. But Evo 2016 was definitely the mark, the first turning of that page. You know, for one day, like not even esports, like all of Twitter just had my name plastered all over it. It was a celebration of Smash, and to be the face for the game that I loved that day was, words couldn't really describe it. And it makes it all the more special now because Evo Melee is no longer at Evo. The fact that I was able to so narrowly just acquire that win, like the odds of it happening in the way that happened still like always seem astronomically small to me. Just the moment, the clutch, like had I done any of those inputs 1/60th of a second off, you know, I wouldn't be the champion. But for some reason, the stars were aligned that day. And it's just something that I really hope, whether it's Evo or not, I really hope any person who's trying to make it big in Smash and compete, I hope they can experience what it's like to finally put away their demons and accomplish the biggest goal of their entire life on a stage that big. Because I feel like if you can do that, you can do anything with your life.
2016 Evo Melee Champion, winner of Genesis 6 Melee Singles, and a member of Team Liquid. HungryBox has been our guest here. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. That's at LiquidHBox and on Twitch at twitch.tv/HungryBox. HungryBox, thank you so much for your time today, man.
No problem, guys. Keep on playing Smash. I appreciate it.
Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's March again, and that means that it's time for Checkpoint XP's High Score Hall of Fame. This time, we're electing a villain. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, over the weekend, The Simpsons dove into the world of esports. We'll give our thoughts on eMySports ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on what the cast did over the weekend. Plus, it's that time of year again. March means that it's the return of Checkpoint XP's High Score Hall of Fame. This time, we're picking a villain. Those conversations are ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Over their 30 seasons, The Simpsons have tackled just about every major issue in pop culture. And this last weekend, it was esports' turn in the barrel. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. Yeah, the episode E My Sports debuted over the weekend.
Such a great title.
It is a great title. Co-executive producer Rob Lezebnik said that the episode was meant to embody a cultural tipping point. They've noticed that esports is just beginning to dominate the conversations surrounding the future of entertainment, sports, media.
Sure.
It kind of struck me as like a, we can't ignore this anymore. It's time to do the esports episode.
And you know what? The episode came across the same way. It seems like they did maybe about a week's worth of research, made one phone call over to Riot, got someone into the office to cut a few voice lines, and
that was
called it good.
Yep.
It's been a long time since I've seen an episode of The Simpsons.
I was very disappointed by this.
Really?
No. I'll say this. It was very middle of the road to me. It was very mediocre.
It was what I expected it to be.
It was very mediocre. Here's the thing. I thought the first 20 minutes or so, or excuse me, the first 10 minutes or so, were on the right path. I was like, okay, I rock with it.
So, like, some of the scenes where, like, Bart and his team are being coached.
They're training and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty good.
So just for those who don't know, the general premise of the episode is to deal with Bart's bad behavior. Homer buys his son a top-of-the-line gaming PC. Bart gets addicted to playing Conflict of Enemies, the show's take on League of Legends, and, of course, Homer sees it as his opportunity to get famous through his son, a la Tiger Woods and his dad.
Underscored by no less than 5 minutes of just repetition of, you can get paid for playing video games?
Yes.
You can get paid for playing... And literally, it's just a repetition. And I think I understand the joke, because I've heard it enough in my own life, where, you know, you'll tell somebody what you do for a living and they're like, that's a job? And you're right. But I felt like the premise was almost beat to death.
Yeah,
For us, it has been. It's like when you work in retail for so long, Joe, when the price doesn't come up, how many times? I guess that means I get it for free.
Go away.
See, I wasn't expecting all these jokes because I wasn't expecting the Simpsons to suddenly find a way to portray esports to the general masses that no one else has caught on to.
No, but at the same time, they've shown that they wanted to get, you know, somebody in the door that knew at least a little bit of what the culture represents and, you know, the inner workings of esports. And by making the call to Riot, and it's still...
Was specifically for how they portrayed the game itself in the episode, because they did get that right, and that's something that we here on the show have complained about in other video game related
and they got
shows
one of the
before.
Casters to be on the show.
They
too.
Did. They got Freak to come on and lend his voice to the episode. But Nate, to your point, you're right. I think that they spent the delivery of that particular joke with Homer repeatedly just like in shock. It landed a little flat, I think, for us. But I think for the average person who hasn't had to answer, like, we're in the job of going to old corporate people and telling them, yes, you can make money doing this for video games. Like, literally, we've had that beaten over our head. I think most people who listen to it, they get that, like, The Simpsons is portraying, like, that is, like this out-of-touch generation that doesn't understand that, that cannot wrap their minds around that.
That's fair.
More of a comment to Homer than the fact that we make money.
I got that. It's just, I thought that, listen, there's more clever ways to be able to deliver that punchline.
But instead of Homer doing that, like, 7 times in a row, it needed to be almost like, anytime they introduced the concept to a new person, they needed to ask the exact same question.
That was
the delivery for that line that they needed.
Like when they go to the school and they win the tournament, It should have been somebody like Lenny or somebody in the audience goes,
well, because we got
you can make money playing video games.
We did something similar when Seymour's like, I've never held this much money in my hand before and refused to give it to him.
I want to hit on that for a second because they did manage to show three different esports scenes, all of which are legitimate esports scenes. You've got your local elementary school, your bottom tier competition. You've got a regional qualifier and then the world championships that they show off. But the fact that, yes, this paradigm of Seymour having to hold the $1,000 prize money and him as an educator saying, I've never held this kind of money, and then he has to hand it over to a kid for playing video games. That to me is actually very funny.
It is.
There were certain parts that were hilarious. You know, and especially to me with the portrayal of sort of the very small portrayals of like team dynamics, who's supposed to be doing what, and
shot calling versus,
and all that type of stuff, and even Homer's role as sort of their coach. Like that aspect of it was really funny.
Yeah.
And I thought really sort of hit home, even sort of touching on the whole like, at, you know, dad, athlete dad.
Right,
sure.
Concept, which I thought was really, I thought it was really funny.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening live over at our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP so that you can lend your opinions in our chat room to conversations like this. And I think, you know, the resolution of the episode, like there were parts that I was like, okay, yeah, that's not bad. Most of the jokes fell flat. It just felt like a new Simpsons episode, right?
Yeah,
more,
it's fair.
More than anything else, it just felt like lazy writing or lazy delivery, and that's been characteristic of the Simpsons of probably
for
the last
15
five
seasons. Well, not that much.
I would say 5 years.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
5 years, the Simpsons have been pretty rough, and I definitely think that when you do a comparison of an episode like this versus something like South Park, that this definitely portrays gaming and gamers in a much more positive light than Mom Get the Bucket. But here's the thing, is that the resolution of the episode where
they go
to a Buddhist temple where Homer, for no apparent reason,
discovers Zen
and shuts down the esports tournament, and that's it. That's the end of the episode.
The reason this was such a big miss for me is specifically what Lisa sort of points out, is that when you let go of the material, you gain Zen. And to him, destroying something that's material to him was ruining this actual, you know, real a moment for Bart, where he's actually doing something, you know, productive. He's communicating with a team. He's having a big moment in his life. And to me, what that communicates to the audience is that, yes, esports is a thing, but ultimately it's a material thing that you should let go of to better your life.
Yeah, there was so much awkwardness about the last 4 minutes of that episode that I didn't care for. Like, for an episode that I actually enjoyed until the last 4 minutes, but I want to highlight
it. It was specifically the moment that Lisa came on screen. I went, oh no, why?
This needed to be a Bart and Homer episode.
Yes, exactly. Yes. There was no purpose for Lisa to be in this episode, and that's underscored by the fact that she does nothing in the episode except, you know, make for this weird jog to the Buddhist temple that brings along the resolution of the plot, which was the worst part of the entire episode.
Not even a resolution.
It wasn't.
I do want to draw attention to a moment that I thought was incredible, is the first coach that Homer hires to teach the kids.
The detonator.
Who in the blink of an eye loses his edge at video games and retires to go work in his uncle's tile shop.
Burns
his goatee.
Was amazing. The fact that he hands Marge a card that says, I cannot socialize on things that are not the video game, and she's like, would you like to come in? Would you like to go where the video games are being played? Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Like, it's like that, I thought, was the right tone that I was hoping for the rest of the episode.
Right. Yeah, and literally just having kind of fun with it. I thought there were things that they did hit on really well. The drone show that happens at the beginning of the World Championships, like clearly mocking like the KDA performance, the over the top intro to the World Championships.
I think they could have gone farther with it. The drones. I mean, the drones, that's been done at traditional sports events.
Yeah,
less so at esports events. I think they could have had more fun directly spoofing the KDA thing.
And that's where I think the episode ended up about falling flat is because there was a lot of opportunities for them to take the joke a little farther, take the joke, you know, and maybe speak to something that is the actual culture of it.
Yes.
And instead just left it right there on the surface. And that's where, that's why it fell flat. Even in the esports competitions and stuff, outside of the 19-year-old coach who came in, everything else is just like, oh, well, you can watch one report on CNBC about esports, and that will tell you all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to keep in mind that, you know, their demographic is people who watch Fox at 8 p.m. on a Sunday. So I get that, you know, I'm not the demographic for that. Even, but if you're going to do your episode on esports, you might as well cut a little bit deeper on the jokes. But when's the last time The Simpsons really did that?
That's true, though. But I expect more out of The Simpsons. If you're an established show of 30-plus years, then I would hope that you would be able to take a subject and do it deftly. And obviously, you know, The Simpsons are not going to get things right 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. I just wish that it had been more researched, or that I had seen more directly from esports that I've experienced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There just wasn't a whole lot on the screen for me to end up connecting to in the end. And I think that that's where it fell flat. It was just like, oh, hey, let's make sure that the gaming rigs are accurately drawn. And to me, I think I needed to go a little bit deeper. It needed to have a little bit more depth. But listen, we want to hear from you. Did you see The Simpsons over the weekend? Did you think it was a big deal? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's March again, and that means that it's time for Checkpoint XP's High Score Hall of Fame to return. This time, we're electing a villain. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll take a look back at the weekend and play a little bit of catch up. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talking Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. Now it's time to play a little catch up from the weekend. Besides watching The Simpsons, what did you guys do this weekend?
Watch OWL.
Yeah?
Lot of OWL.
Well, I mean, we're here. It's playoff time now, right?
Yes, sir.
How excited are you?
Very, actually. More excited than I thought I would be.
So we after the playoffs this coming weekend, we have a break, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, stage cool. Break. Stage exciting. Break. So, pretty much did that, caught up on a lot of stuff, played a little bit of Celeste, got back into doing my placements for the season in Overwatch.
On PC or console?
On PC. Won all of them, and I think I won seven straight, and then lost one.
Oh, haven't finished just yet, though?
I got to finish tonight.
I need to get onto that. I actually missed out on last season. I've actually rekindled a very complicated relationship with Fallout 76.
A very complicated relationship.
Yes. I just cussed. But watch the final round,
it. It's fine.
Yeah, watch the final round, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was important.
Yeah.
So you spent all your entire weekend actually doing your job, then.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, not me. I left once to go grocery shopping, almost got ran off the road, and then spent the majority of the time playing Fallout 76. A while ago, I had bought one of the like floor tiles, special floor tiles out of the Atom Shop, but couldn't put it down because they it only comes in like the 2x2 and not the 1x2, which I use. So I put it off the longest time. Finally decided, oh, I'm going to take a little bit of time to fix this. And there were two pieces.
I didn't know you were using the 1x2s.
Yeah, well, in a few spots, because just the way that you have to finagle stuff when building is ridiculous. And it got to a point where it wouldn't let me remove a tile because it was connected to the stairs, but I couldn't remove the stairs because it was connected to the tile. So I just had to erase everything. I had to start completely from scratch.
You couldn't just leave it?
No.
Like that?
No, because then I'm going to have all, like, nice dark wood laminate floor and then one, like, wood chicken fence floor. No, Norris. You of all people should know.
Robbie's become a homeowner, just not in real life.
Yeah. But anyway, 6 hours later, it's perfect. It is so good. I'm so happy with everything.
It looks good. I have to compliment you on it. You did a nice job on it.
So I picked up a couple games over the weekend. I did pick up Celeste and to sit down and start playing through that. That game is very hard. I'm not doing the assist mode. I do want to beat it the hard way, but
do you think you will do that before it's time to talk about it?
I think so. I cleared the first three chapters on my first day playing. I feel like I can probably.
I think I'm gonna have to turn on assist mode. If I'm gonna progress meaningfully in that game, I think I'm gonna have to turn on assist mode.
I am so disappointed in
you guys. Chapter 3 of that game is legit hard.
So let me tell you, I am not a huge fan of like super challenging platformers, right?
Specifically,
it's that like mid 2000s Super Meat Boy era.
Super Meat Boy. Yes. That was my first platformer. My first basis of comparison for this, or
VVVVVVVV. Yeah.
Those are my only two bases of comparison
specifically
for this game.
For me, it reminds me a lot of the mechanics in Cuphead, where it's more about you have to be absolutely perfect timing on everything.
Yeah, it's rote and muscle memory.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's not what I find fun in a game.
I agree. I did not find Super Meat Boy terribly fun. I liked VVVVV a little bit more.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
No, I'm having a blast with it.
It's still a beautiful, amazing game.
It's a beautiful game. I love the soundtrack. I just find myself getting frustrated with it.
Yeah, totally.
So
in addition to Celeste, I also picked up Let's Go Eevee. I finally made the dive back into Kanto.
It's so fun, ain't it? Admit it.
I can't stop playing.
Told you.
I'm like, I just got it yesterday. I'm down 4 gyms already. I've already got like 80 Pokemon. I've evolved all my starters.
Do yourself a favor when you get to the point where you can, if you want, to bring Pokemon over from Pogo, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Let me ask you this. Why would you? Because it's so easy to level up Pokemon
in this game. That's fair.
But that's part of it.
For me, it was like, well, let me get the ones I don't have yet. And then suddenly, because my drive is to collect all of them, and suddenly that just killed my drive.
So I've been hearing about like these challenge trainers at the end of the game, after like the Elite Four and everything, where they have a high level of all 150 Pokemon. You have to battle them with that one Pokemon. That's where I see a use for Pogo. Because no, I'm not leveling every Pokemon up to 100 and battling it against itself. That I might steal some Pokemon out of Pogo
that's
for.
Fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I think Let's Go Eevee is outstanding. I mean,
Are you looking forward to Gen 8 anymore?
Way more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the same way. I got way more pumped after playing.
I was already looking forward to Gen 8, don't get me wrong, but now that I'm getting back into it and getting back in the spirit of collecting and leveling up and battling, I'm like, all right, now I really want Gen 8, yeah.
Yeah. I think I did not play all that much of my Let's Go Pikachu, but I liked enough of the upgrades to have me ready for Gen 8. I want Gen 8 complete with the bank and all my competitive mons that I've bred up over the years.
Just them making it so that you can have like your Eevee not in your party but still with you, and it carries all your HMs, so you don't have to have a Pokemon slot dedicated to having all the HMs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just simple things like that makes the game so much better.
Absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. We're currently talking about what we did over the weekend, and I actually barely played video games over the weekend. I did play anything that I did play was mostly Celeste or Fallout 76.
Sure.
I fixed my bathroom.
Yes. Now, your bathroom has been
out of service.
You have two.
I have two bathrooms. Yes, I have two bathrooms in my condo.
Without toilet for the last few months. You have two.
Right.
But yes, your guest bathroom, I would say,
correct,
has been out of service now for way too long.
Yeah.
Quite
so the toilet has been down for about a month.
Yes.
And the sink in there has always leaked since the day I bought the apartment. And so I was like, you know what? Might as well just go for both things. And got a bit overwhelmed. Had to call the parents.
Which,
I am not a good plumber.
No, I know learned that moment.
I learned this about myself. Like when I had water coming out that I couldn't stop, that I was having to bail into the tub.
Yeah, that's a moment where you're like, that's where I was, call mom and dad.
I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
I'm glad that I don't have to pay for water here because there was a lot of it.
Because that would be expensive.
That's
well,
right.
Well, I would personally like to give a big thank you to Mama and Papa Bender, because I'm assuming that's also why you cleaned your house.
It is. I also cleaned. I spent the weekend cleaning.
I like to think it's because we shamed you last time.
No, it's because of the pain.
No.
There's no way that we can shame that's more effective than Mama Bender.
No, wasn't even the parents. I'll tell you exactly what it was.
Okay. It was Tinder.
No.
Mm.
Although that's a good guess. That's a mighty good guess, Norris. I'll give you that one. No, it was daylight savings time.
Oh, you had more daylight here one night and said, wait, it's still light out at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Let me clean.
Yep.
Yep. I
when
do
it
know
doesn't
that feeling.
Feel like midnight.
Amen.
After you're done doing your work.
Amen.
I actually found I still had energy to do stuff on Friday.
And to be fair, because of the way your place is positioned, you don't get any like street light.
No,
light.
No.
You get pitch black.
I get all of the sunlight, though.
Now that you pointed that out, though, the first day of daylight savings time, when we went home, we get out of here, I went home and vacuumed that very day and didn't understand why.
Yeah!
It's almost like seasonal depression is a real thing.
It really is. Like, I think that's very real because, like, yeah, maybe it was like, I don't want to disturb my neighbors or I feel like it's too late or whatever it is. But, yeah,
I got home, like, that first day that we got out of here where it was like, we probably got out around 6:30.
Yeah.
And it was still daylight. I got home and went, wait a minute. I'm going to clean up my back porch since all the snow's melted off of it.
And then when you're done, you're like, why did I do that?
It was, to be honest, it was Thursday and going out to see Captain Marvel and then coming home, playing video games and going to bed.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I had a full day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
no, I totally get that.
And like still had time to come back and play some games. And I was like, oh, I can actually do stuff after work now. This is nice.
I had that moment with calling the folks for repairs though at the new house.
Oh yeah. What'd you do?
So we had when we had that really bad plumbing clog, I went on YouTube and learned how to snake a drain and tried to do that myself and to varied success. But the next morning, our garage door wouldn't open. The garage door motor wouldn't work. That was, nope, absolutely not. Calling mom and dad. Need help with this one.
Yeah.
What do?
That's never a fun one.
Are so funny.
When I lived in Warren, the garage door that I had in the on the
I remember
the non-connected garage, someone tried to get in that in my last week that I lived there.
And like all junk in there.
Yeah, I had like pop bottles and like an old TV and just like junk. It was
they
just
take the pop bottles and old TV?
They took the pop bottles, but not the old TV.
They're like, well, I went to the effort of breaking in here. I'm getting something.
But they broke the track.
Oh.
They broke the track getting in. I couldn't use my, thank God I wasn't home, because how would I have gotten my car out?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like when the track's running, now you can just lift the door up.
Yeah.
That's a pain.
Uh-huh. It was jammed. It went like up like that far, and that's it.
And it
wouldn't go back down either.
Right, yeah. Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
Oh. Anyway, the moral of this story is, I'm so glad daylight savings time's over.
Yeah, me too. Let's just keep it here.
Let's not fall back ever.
No, we don't need to do that.
I like this idea.
No. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Was it at half as epic as ours? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's time for the return of the Checkpoint XP High Score Hall of Fame. This time, we'll be selecting the greatest villain of all time, and everyone at home can help. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure to sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insights, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. It's March, which means that it's time for the return of the Checkpoint XP High Score Hall of Fame. Our first year, we elected Chrono Trigger as the best game of all time. Last year, Link joined the Hall of Fame with the best protagonist. And this year, we're on the hunt for the best villain in all of video games.
We are all going to put forth two. You each get two. But the other three hosts get to determine which of your two are going to go to the people for the final vote.
I like it!
And this year, our audience, our social media audience, will be the ones to decide the greatest villain of all time.
So we pick two of our favorite villains.
Yep.
They're going to go into the debate Thunderdome.
Right.
One is going to come out victorious.
Right.
And those four victors are going to go on to the next round where they're going to be voted on by our fans at home.
You've got it.
Bam. All right. I'm going to start it off.
All right, Nate, lead us off.
Because I love villains.
Yes.
It's no secret. Venom is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Sabretooth is another one of my all-time favorites.
I like Sabretooth.
And another one of my all-time favorites I'm going to put up right here.
Okay.
Kefka for Final Fantasy VI.
Well, it's hard to argue with that.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who got results. It's hard to argue. The genocidal jester.
But I'm going to put him up against one of the greatest villains in all of video gaming.
Okay.
Revolver / Liquid Ocelot.
The
whole arc, baby.
Now, you gotta help me. Kefka genocided like half a planet.
That's right.
What did Revolver accomplish?
First of all, he's way cooler. Number one.
Well, I've heard he has the best gun ever. I've been told that.
See, this is the problem. The fact that me and Joe haven't played through.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, you can.
I'm gonna recuse myself
because me and Joe haven't played through them, and we are the arbiters to decide who goes forward. I feel like Revolver is at a significant disadvantage here because I don't even know how to argue for him. I'm going to straight up go for Kefka.
Here's the thing about Liquid, about Revolver Ocelot, is that this is a guy who was not a double agent, but a triple agent.
Oh, great.
Okay? A triple agent. A betrayer of a betrayer of a betrayer. All right?
Okay.
And he has commitment issues.
No. He's actually,
that's what I'm hearing.
No, he's actually the most loyal person of all of them. And the thing is, what made him a villain and what made him so compelling is the fact that throughout many decades, he is able to place his influence into world events. And most people just look at him on the side like, there's Ocelot not doing a bunch of anything. No. In fact, he's manipulating everybody involved to his end and his agenda. Revolver Ocelot is one of the GOATs, period.
Give me a body count, an estimated body count.
All villains ain't always got to be about killing people.
I vote Kefka.
Well, it's 2-1. Kefka wins. All right, let's move on. Joe, let's hear your picks for who is the best villain.
All right, so first of all, I have to put forth the mistress of memes. She spawned a billion of them. GLaDOS from Portal. has created an entire generation of memes, whether it be through Still Alive or the cake being a lie. So I'm going to put her up there, and I'm going to put her against the Queen of Blades, Kerrigan from StarCraft and StarCraft Brood War, a notorious traitor and murderer of billions.
As one of my first early games, seeing the betrayal that put Kerrigan, you know, as the Queen of Blades was one of those things like really hit me like,
Kerrigan.
And then she goes on to destroy entire planets, man.
Yep.
But GLaDOS is a better villain.
Yes.
Period.
More compelling. Funnier, too.
She is. I will give you that GLaDOS is way funnier.
Exactly. A perfect example of the body count not being more important than having personality and memorability.
That's right. Because you can be a villain to one character. You don't have to be a genocidal maniac to be a villain.
StarCraft wasn't really much for, you know, building super compelling narratives either, so
I'm going to go with GLaDOS.
All right, GLaDOS it is.
GLaDOS wins. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently selecting our favorite villains of all time to be put up for a vote as a part of our High Score Hall of Fame game. Going on to our selections next to Norris.
All right, here's somebody that I'm picking simply because they're not just a villain to the characters in the game, they're more a villain to you, the player, and that's M. Bison. That is a character who is absolutely, in Street Fighter 2, the most frustrating person to ever come across and will make you waste gobs of money. I have them going against a person who I would have never chosen based off the first game that they were in. But the second one showed us his path, and that's Dutch from the Red Dead series, where we saw a character start as an anti-hero, somebody who was on your team, progressively begin to devolve into a man
who just needs money versus a man who will take all of your money.
I'm personally going to go for Dutch myself, and what I like most about him is that, you know, he's one who you from the beginning probably get the idea of where it's kind of going, but he doesn't even realize that he's the villain to everyone around him and to himself.
Do I get to choose the Raul Julia version of M. Bison?
Yes. Whatever you want. It's the character.
Yes, you can.
Then that's who I'm voting for every single time.
I got to tell you, I think as one of the most recognizable villains out there, I have to give it to M. Bison too. So I would pick him.
Goes to M. Bison, and the edge there was Raul Julia. All right. The last one, Robbie, who are you putting up into the villain Thunderdome?
Well, the first one is going to be Martin Sheen's The Elusive Man from Mass Effect 2 and 3. And I'm actually pulling an audible here. I was going to go with Handsome Jack, but I'm going to change it to Andrew Ryan.
I'm going to say The Elusive Man on the grounds that I think Frank Fontaine was actually the bigger antagonist of BioShock versus Andrew Ryan. Andrew Ryan had the big twist, but yes. I think Frank Fontaine was the villain.
And for that reason that you actually took the words out of my mouth, I'm going to have to go with The Elusive Man as well.
Yeah, I've seen him in so many different movies and The West Wing. Having Martin Sheen play a prominent role in a video game gave that character gravity.
Sure did.
And gave it some real that character made me feel something where most video game characters don't. So I think I'm also going to have to give it to The Elusive Man.
All right, so our final four are going to be The Elusive Man from Mass Effect 2 and 3, M. Bison from Street Fighter, GLaDOS from Portal, and Kefka from Final Fantasy 6. We are going to put up a Twitter poll, and you guys at home are going to get to vote on who the winner is. We'll announce it here next week on Checkpoint XP.
That's right. It'll also be available at our website, checkpointxp.com, so you can make sure to use that as a resource if you want to find that poll. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Big shout out and thank you to HungryBox for his time today. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. keep listening.
PogChamp.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.